the OTB Podcast Network.
The Marie Keating Foundation is teaming up with the Westwood Hurling manager Davy Fitzgerald to launch Give Bladder Cancer the Red Card. It's a nationwide bladder cancer awareness campaign. Each year, 490 people in Ireland are diagnosed with bladder cancer, and three times more men than women are diagnosed with the disease. Davy's fronting the campaign to highlight the biggest warning sign of bladder cancer, which is blood in your urine, and to encourage people to visit their doctor immediately if they have any concerns. Davy Fitzgerald, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm interested, getting involved in campaigns like this, do you feel it's important to give back, to use your profile to help raise awareness around issues like bladder cancer?
Listen, I suppose I've had a few health issues myself, and I'm very aware of how important health is in your life. So without a shadow of a doubt, I'm delighted to be involved in something like this, because the most important thing in life is health. And that we kind of mind our health, and that we listen to the warning signs you get, having previously had a few myself. So I'm actually thrilled to be involved.
You're very open about your own health issues. And again, that decision to speak publicly about it is, it's not something that everybody does. It's something that we as Irish people can sometimes be a bit reticent to tell our own stories for loads of different reasons. It's just part of our psyche. But for you, was it a worthwhile experience telling people about the health issues that you have had?
Listen, if you can help one or two people to read the signs and go and seek help, it definitely is worthwhile. And probably only for me listening to my body on the two or three different occasions, I might be here right now. So if I can help someone get a message that will say, okay, I have a pain here, there is a reason for this, I need to go and get it checked out, and be more aware, and even that's one of the things behind this, behind bladder cancer. We want people, just if they do get two or three signs, to just go to their GP and tell them what they're coming across. So I'd be very much on that way of thinking. And you know what, like, sport is great, but your health and the time you have in your life is very important.
It might be a bit rude to bring this up, but I think you've got a nice big roundy birthday this year. How is your health at this stage?
You're an awful man, so you are. I was trying to keep that quiet if I could, you know. Listen, the health isn't bad. I've definitely taken a lot more notice. And you know what? Like, lockdown has been very tough, but I have I spent a good bit more time on my health, without a shadow of a doubt. Tried to watch my weight a bit more, and also, like, I just probably watch a bit more when I'm eating. I'm not saying, no, I don't eat bad at times. I do. I can eat the wrong things every now and again, but less frequent than I used to be, I'll put it like that.
How do you do that, though? Because that's the compulsion that people have is the problem, really.
It is. Like, I probably calorie count a bit. And I am. Do you know the biggest thing for me is actually just feeling good? And you would not, by eating really healthy and really good, and drinking the water like every day, like I would have struggled to drink my 2 litres of water a day or whatever. Now the difference it makes to me is incredible. So I'll tell you why it's a bit easier, is because you can't, I think sometimes we don't appreciate what feeling good, getting up in the morning and actually feeling good is about. And you know what, that beats anything for me. I love my sport, but health is number one, and the people around you being healthy and feeling good, we got to appreciate that. That's number one.
Your sport is obviously a situation that tends to involve quite a lot of high pressure as well, Davy. I wonder, is there a sense of convenience and stress that comes with maybe bad lifestyle choices as well? Not just for you, but for everybody involved in high pressure scenarios in the GEA.
That's a good question. I suppose there's as much stress and pressure as you want to put on yourself in it. You know, I try my best to put things in perspective. I know you wouldn't think that in the sideline for maybe an hour or 70 minutes or whatever, but if you ask the lads around training, I'd like to think the environment we have is a good environment, an environment where we can express ourselves, because at the end of the day, this is a sport. Is it pressure at times? It is, and you want to win, but you have to bring some realism to it too, and appreciate what life is about. So I try my best to keep that massive pressure off myself. It doesn't always work, but I try hard. I try and appreciate the most important things in life. But you are right in saying when I'm in a car so often, like the one thing that used to kill me was stop at a shop, get fuel, and then you might blow it up in a bit of junk and a sugar hit. And now, thankfully, in the last year or so, I've definitely got that a bit better under control. Not totally, but I'm getting there.
It's just impossible. I know that you, like the whole point about those shops are they're designed with their shiny wrappers to go, oh, buy me, eat me. And the multi-packs are the killer. I just wonder, are you getting better at dealing with the stress and pressure now? Is this something that is actually, was there a wake-up call along the way, or were you always kind of tightly wound for the match itself, but actually able to separate those things out?
Again, I'll put it to you like this. Especially the environment I find myself in managing and being in the spotlight a lot, I try my best to stay away from reading things on social media. I try my best not to read papers. I try my best not to look at interviews. If you like, I try and keep my own little bubble, believe it or not. And I think that's important that you don't get caught into it, because if you get so too wrapped up on stuff, it can overwhelm you and you'll find yourself fighting so many different battles. And you know what? At the end of the day, you don't need to fight them. I think if the people around you, if the people you're dealing with know the exact story, I think you're better off, because stuff could consume you easily enough. And do you know what? Life isn't worth that.
Again, is that something a skill you've acquired as opposed to one that like you always had the whole way through?
No, listen, I didn't have that the whole way through. That's for definite. I used to try and fight every battle. And do you know what the worst thing is? Your friends will come back and say to you, do you see what so-and-so wrote, or do you see what so-and-so said? And now I just tell them if they're about to say something, I don't want to hear it. Like, the way I look at it is, I will make mistakes. I'll do things that aren't spot on, but then there'll be other times where I know I'm right and someone has had a different view on it. And I've just got to accept that. I think that's the most important thing.
Is part of it about biting your tongue at certain times as well, Dave? You're not saying stuff?
100%. You could probably see that. I mean, a few years ago, I'd wear my heart to my sleeve big time. I still do to a degree, but there is issues I could probably go into and deal with and that really hurt me or hurt my family. And I just, you know what? The people that know us know exactly what we're like. That's what I say to myself, and I just let it go. There's no point. I'm not going taking on people fighting with them, because you're not going to change people's minds. Certain people out there have an idea, and no matter what we say or do, we're not going to change it. So what can we do? Just let them off.
That feels like it's a maturity that you've reached. And was there a single point that you can point to that was it? Is that lockdown connected in some ways?
You know, some of it might be a reflection. Like, and can I say this, even dealing with good stuff, like, you know, where you're doing your TV programs and you're all over the place, like, I try and keep myself even, I find it very hard to look at stuff I do, and I try and keep myself away from that. And the same with the bad stuff. I just try and live my life as separate to that if I can. Like, that's my work and that's my stuff, and I be as honest and as good as I can, and then I try and stay away from it and live the normal life, be it walks, be it golf, be it doing stuff with my family. Like, you have a life outside of that, and I think it's very important that you're not living that life that's maybe portrayed at times. You have to go back to the simple things that matter in life.
Has it been a bit easier then to live that life because you're not leaving the house as much, you're not driving across the country as much, people aren't coming up to you in the street, obviously, as much? Now, that might change over the next few months, but has lockdown actually helped in that regard?
Yeah, well, listen, the one thing, I never mind if people are genuine saying hello to them and talk to them. You go down to Wexford and you can't go through the streets and people are saying hello to you. And probably the same in Ennis. Like, there's some really good people that are just mad to say hello and have a chat. And I think it's nice to be nice, but then I get a lot of time at home, be it walk the dogs or out with Sharon, or like just spending time at the golf course with my friends, which I love, playing cards with my friends and my mum down at home. Like, they're special times to me. I love them times where you're around them people as well. So it's to get that balance, I suppose, guys, is the most important thing, is get that balance in your life, is where you get time to spend with your friends and with your people as well. And then in the business I'm in, you have to give the public time as well. I think that's important.
What's your relationship with hurling? Is it an addiction? How do you classify it?
It's a love, without a shadow of a doubt. I grew up as a young fella, being brought by my uncle, my dad at times, to games and watching Clare play, and had a dream to play for Clare and to play for my club, Six Mile Bridge. And I just wanted it so badly. I wanted to be involved in the game so badly. And, like, to tell you the truth, now I'm manager of Wexford. I coach our local senior team, but I'm also helping my son coach our local minor team. And the kick I have got out of going up to the under-17s at Six Mile Bridge and working with them in the last number of weeks has been immense. Now, it's not leaving me many days to do anything else, because but I actually involved. I have 3 or 4 young lads, and Cullum's friends and a few more involved with me. And you know what? It's great. And the young lads are 17, and I find them great to relate to and trying different things. And it's just brilliant, you know. It's kind of way different to being involved with Wexford and even the Six Mile Bridge senior team.
The reason I ask is because it's been characterised that this is your last dance with Wexford, this is your last season. I haven't seen you say that anywhere. I've seen everybody make this assumption that come what may, the end of the year is the end of Davy at Wexford. Is that 100% confirmed in your heads?
No. 100%. I don't know. I don't know what will be. What we'll do is we'll judge it at the end of the year, right? People are making them assumptions. No one has talked to me. Like, I think the chairman rang me the other day and we had a good laugh about it. And, like, when the time is up, it's up. It might be next year, it might be the year. I don't know. When it's up, it's up. All I know is the 5 years I've had at Wexford so far have been incredible, and I've loved it. And maybe there'll be a 6, maybe there won't. But I'm telling you that 100%, guys, you have it from my mouth. I don't know. I'm not judging what's going to happen or what's not. I just don't know. If it's the right thing to stay on and do it, we'll do it. And if it isn't, we won't, if they need a change. So that's honestly it. No one has an idea, because I don't know myself.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, because I did kind of, I was like, I was Googling away going, he must have said this somewhere, because everybody's saying it, and it's just become the received wisdom that this is the end. But, like, you know, there's loads of different pathways to a brilliant, incredible season for you guys, where you're like, oh, I mean, why am I walking away from this? You know, we're in the middle of something here, as opposed to the end. Was lockdown a bit of a nightmare for you, the second lockdown after last season, when you were like, how do I piece together the evidence of last season's broken year, when all of the evidence of the previous year was suggesting that we were heading in the right direction?
Well, I put it to you like this, right? I came in 2017. Wexford hadn't been out of Division 1B for a lot of years. We got out of 1B. We got to Leinster final in the first year. In 18... we maintained our 1A status, to me, which was so important that we didn't slip back down. And in 19, we won Leinster. So, like, my job at the start was to make sure Wexford were competitive. And in 2020, we actually had a great league. I think we only lost one game. Like, so what came at the end of 2020, like, yeah, we were beaten twice. We didn't perform. But, like, I actually think our time in Wexford has been very good, you know. So you just have people maybe stuck for things to say and write, and I can't do it. I've said it to you, I can't do anything about that. But I'm realist, and I think we haven't done too bad. And what's going to happen in 2021, I don't know. Like, if we can stay in the top number of teams, then I think that's very good for Wexford. Then you have an opportunity. And if not, then, like, you'll evaluate everything at the end of the year and you just see, okay, can I get more out of this team? Can I not? Do they need to change? Do they not? But that won't be anyone else's decision. Only probably the chairman of Wexford and myself, we'll talk about it and we'll be realistic. That's what we've always done, is we chat about it. And I know at the end of last year, I talked to the chairman and he said, well, we had a great league. He said, and the championship were after coming off club hurling and football. It was tough. So it's hard to evaluate that. But in general, the time in Wexford, guys, has been pretty good. I think anyone fair-minded and reasonable can see that.
Yeah, like, I don't think there actually has been too much criticism about the time in Wexford so far. Like, as you say, there's a number of mitigating factors for last year. And 2019, like, without getting back into what happened 2 seasons ago, you were a puck of a ball away, or a couple of pucks of a ball away, yeah, from beating the All-Ireland champions.
Oh, we weren't far away. Listen, you can't say that Wexford are going to win Leinster. That's a successful year. A successful year for me is when Wexford are competing with the top. That's what we have to try and do. And thankfully, we did that in 2019. We competed with the top, and that's what I'd like us to see. If we're competing with the top, then we have an opportunity. Has anyone a God-given right? No. Probably Limerick are a bit ahead of the game at the moment. The rest, there's a number of teams that are there, thereabouts. I think it's tight enough in general, but you don't know what's going to happen, guys. Sport is funny. You just don't know what way it's going to roll.
How do you live with defeats, though? Owen brings up 2019 and the poke of the ball. And last year, again, I think expectations were high because 2019 was so spectacular. Have you processed those? Have you parked those completely? Or is that just the competitive instinct is such that they actually never go away, and that's the whole point?
Listen, you have to have a bit of hurt. That'll drive you. Of course, we want to win. Let me say this. It's great to say, yeah, we want to go out and compete. Of course you want to win. Does defeat hurt? Of course it hurts. There's no point talking anything else. It does hurt. But that drives you on to want to do it again, you know. But do you know what? With all the teams, there's very few teams that are going to end up winning at the end of the year. You might have someone that will win Munster, someone that will win Leinster, and one of them will probably win the All-Ireland.
You mentioned there a moment ago that Limerick are ahead of the pack a little bit, Davey. Like, that's clear to see. And I think what's kind of been a pretty sensational about it is that not a lot of people not involved in hurling a few years ago might have seen this dominance of Limerick coming. You might have seen it yourself. It's interesting, given you've obviously worked with a team that won the All-Ireland that had quite a young age profile, and then maybe getting back to that level was a struggle the few years after that. So why are Limerick in such a place that it is sustainable, as opposed to maybe how Clare were fixed when you were there?
It's very interesting to answer that. Like, I think Clare were just coming back in 2016. We won the National League. I remember even talking to me all, I don't know who we got beat in the All-Ireland quarter-final. We actually weren't far away off coming back right then, you know. And then Clare went to Munster final in 17, 18. I think they were right there. Clare didn't actually disappear. They were right there, you know. So you look at probably 16, 17, 18 for Clare. They weren't 100 miles away. It would have taken very little. I think in 18, they were one puck of the ball away from getting to an All-Ireland final. So, they weren't 100 miles away, but going from 13 to 15, like an age group, that win that young, it's hard to cope with it, you know, and you would have had a few factors, but definitely they were back in 16. With Limerick, and I have to say it, the people that it guided them at underage, I don't know exactly who got them at 14, 15, 16 up to minor, but I have to say they did an incredible job, not alone with their skill factor, but the way they were presented, and fair play to them. They deserve a lot of credit. And then the current management, of course, have kept their feet on the ground and have worked them extremely hard. And the big thing from a management point of view is to make sure that you have humble guys that will just go out and work hard every day. And Limerick are that. Like, they are humble and they work hard every single day they go out.
They've married the physicality of that Kilkenny team with the stick work of any team that we've seen before. It's a heady combination.
It is, but I think you can see the way most teams are presented. You should look at our body composition. Like, it's pretty unreal, you know. So I think a lot of teams are up there physically. I'd like to think the Kilkennys, the Wexfords, you look at the Corks that come to the table this year. Like, there's a lot of teams physically are right up there as well, you know. But as we say, Limerick have that small edge at the moment, and it's the rest of our jobs to make sure that we can get up there and get competing with them. And that's what we're all striving to do.
And is that keeping you awake at night?
No, it's actually driving me on. I can't wait for the challenges, you know. And you might meet Limerick and they might beat you, but you know what? We'll come back again and we will get them. Like, there will a time come where it's going to change. Like, there will another team come for the will. And you'd just like to be involved in that team that comes and makes a breakthrough. It will happen. So it will be it this year or next year, it will happen. So that's important, and you have to believe that as well.
In terms of the league season this year, I just want to ask you briefly about the rules before we get to the games themselves. We've seen one game. The referees are obviously learning on the job. It's very difficult for them. What's your take on, in particular, the advantage rule? Because that's the one that had the most criticism after the weekend.
Actually, I'd be fairly certain you know the answer to this one yourself. What we've just had in the first weekend, we all realise we need to do something quickly about the way that this has been interpreted. We don't need to be stopping the game. Let the advantage accrue if they get the score. The Limerick game, I think. I can't remember who shot the point now. And it should have been allowed. They brought it back for a free, and I think they missed the free. Like, that's not an advantage, you know, and we're stopping the game. Like, to me, if you have 20 to 30 frees in a game, fine, that's not really acceptable. But if we head up between over 40 and over, we're absolutely going to destroy what we have. And I said that straight after the game on Sunday. I'm not 100% in favour of what they're doing with that rule.
Yeah, and I can't see anybody who's coming out saying it's brilliant. We've finally fixed this problem in the game that nobody thought was a problem. It's a strange scenario where we find ourselves trying to fix that. The game against Clare this weekend, Clare obviously coming back off the defeat against Antrim. Did you anticipate that defeat against Antrim? Did you expect to be facing a team who was bouncing in after a victory in Belfast?
Let me say this. I think we played Antrim there a year or two ago, Wexford, and trust me, they put it up to us. Like, Antrim, especially above in Belfast, are going to give you a tough game. I know what Clare are like. They beat Wexford last year. I know all them young lads, and the time and respect I have for them is incredible. So, listen, I know what will come in us this week. They always seem to lift our game, especially when they're playing myself from Wexford, but... they'll be right back at us. Don't have any doubt. I know them lads, and they'll be right back at us.
I know you don't want to get into the winter of discontent that there has been in Clare, so I'm not going to ask you about that. But your own relationship with the county, what's that like at the moment?
No, there's a lot of great people in Clare. The amount of people that come up and talk to you and say hello to you is brilliant, you know. So, my county, you love it. Absolutely love it. And I suppose you're not going to get on with everyone. That's the way it goes. But Clare is a great place, a lot of great people. And that won't ever change.
And is there a sadness in you about how things have turned out?
Yeah, just not interested in talking about it, guys.
No, that's fine, and I appreciate that. And sorry, I'm not trying to pry. It's more the your own personal relationship with the people as opposed to the politics.
Yeah, and that's what I just said to you. Like there is so many great people in Clare. It's incredible, and that's all I'm focused on. And that you won't have people that will like you or not like you, and that's part of life, as we discussed earlier. So that's the way it goes, but that's how it is in Clare, and I'm happy out with so many people out there that will come up to you and say hello to you, and I suppose appreciate how long you played for Clare and managed Clare and that, and it's great. But we're just going to drive on now and look forward to Sunday and a good game.
And the proximity of the league to the championship this year, does that invest even greater intensity in the performances of the individuals that you're trying to judge whether or not they're going to be up to championship standard in 3-4 weeks' time?
Yeah, I think Sunday will be a big barometer because you'll have two teams probably going at it hard. I know we're missing a good lad last day. We'll still be missing a number the next day. I'm sure Clare will be missing a number, but isn't that an opportunity for other guys to get in and get a goal? Like, the league isn't the be-all and end-all of everything this year, like, because I don't even think you're going to have a league final. So you're saying to yourself, well, try things. Like, certainly I got to try things last weekend, and we'll try a few more this weekend. But I would think, the next we have Clare and we have Kilkenny coming up, and I think there'll be a massive two weekends, and just seeing how we cope with that challenge, because there'll be two... there'll be two physical games, there'll be two games that'll be very intense, so it'll be good for what's going to come maybe in 6 or 7 weeks' time.
Davey, thanks very much for your time this morning. The launch of the campaign is Give Bladder Cancer the Red Card. It's in association with the Marie Keating Foundation, and the advice is, if you have any blood in your urine or any other things that you think might be bothering you, to go and visit the GP, and that's the best advice we can give anybody.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.